And now the game where we ask talented people to talk about things other than their talents, which is nice because who wants to brag? It's called Not My Job. There are a lot of great bands and a lot of successful bands, but only one great successful band that regularly performs in a delicatessen. The band Haim is three sisters from LA. Their new album with a picture of them in Cantor's Deli in Los Angeles is called Women in Music Part 3. And two members of the band, Esty and Alana Haim, join us now. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
It's an absolute thrill, but I'm right about delicatessens. You guys are like devotees of the Kibitz Room over at Cantor's, right?
Yes, we love delis. Yes. I don't think it's a secret, but we had a band with our parents called Rockenheim. It was a cover band. We would only play covers. And our first gig was when I think I was either 7 or 8, and it was at the Kibitz Room. And we got paid in matzball soup because that's like what the payment is there. And that was like our first gig. Like my first gig was at a bar. Now we're like actually friends with the Cantor's family because they can't get rid of us. Where they're like once every couple of days you could find us at Cantor's before COVID.
For people who don't know, Cantor's is like the classic old deli in LA. It's in the Fairfax district, which historically was the Jewish district. And I just love the idea that one day, I don't know how long ago, 20 years, somebody walked in and said, hey, there's a nice Jewish family playing in the other room. Want to have a drink?
Well, there actually was literally one person in the crowd. It was like one guy. There was like one guy that he must have been like the guy that just goes there every night to just get wasted. And he was the only person there. He was sitting at the bar. And I remember there's video of it, of me, Esty, and Danielle. We were all wearing like butterfly clips and like limited two outfits,
like sparkly jeans.
Like I think my shirt said like soccer on it, like soccer
or like
queen
99% angel,
1% devil.
Oh my god!
And there was like a guy. There was a guy that could not believe that we were playing our instruments, and in the video you hear him screaming like, "This isn't real!" And you can see that. Danielle,
you had one audience member, and he was a heckler.
Yeah, he was a heckler. And you see Danielle like in the video, like she's doing like
terrifying.
Danielle's first solo that she ever learned was Hotel California.
What?
And she played the whole solo, and she was like 9 or 10, and the guy was like, "Where's the recording?"
Wait, I can't even. Can we just back up and talk about the fact that your parents pimped you out like the Von Trapp family?
Well, it's actually a pretty crazy thing. My dad, so my parents have always loved playing music. They were never professional. They just like, my dad played drums. My mom played guitar. And like her claim to fame is that she won the Gong Show like when she was around my age.
That's awesome.
And my dad always tells a story like that he had a dream, like literally like a prophecy, like a dream that he woke up one night in the middle of the night and like woke up my mom and was like, "I just had a dream that we had a band with the kids and I think we should do it."
Oh, wow. Amazing. How old were you at the time?
I was like 4 when we started Rockenheim, and the only thing that I could play was like percussions. Like my dad would give me like a cowbell and like a tambourine, like very Partridge Family style, like the only thing I could play. And Danielle started when she was, how old, Esty?
Danielle started when she was like 5 or 6 and surpassed me, and I was like 8 or 9, and like, imagine the older sister looking at the middle sister, and she's just like, she's literally like the Steve Van Zandt at like 6 years old, and I'm sitting here like, I can barely push on the string.
So your father says, "I had this dream, we're going to be a band." And the fact that you guys were not like, "This is crazy, this is weird, we don't want anything to do with this," but you're like, "Yes," and now you're like a huge hit band that you play Saturday Night Live and guests with Taylor Swift. This is really weird.
It was cool though, because the thing is, my parents, we only had radio in our car. So we would only play K-Earth 101, which was like the oldies station. But like we would record songs on a tape deck and then learn them by ear, like with my mom. Like we would all sit around and like learn the chords. And like for me, because we would pretty much only listen to K-Earth, I was like learning songs that were on the radio, not knowing that they were like really old songs.
Like I thought the Beatles were like alive and well and playing
like touring. I was like, "We should go see these guys. They're really great." I mean, once we got into like our teen years, it was like, "Mom and dad,
a little tougher.
we want to play like Sublime.
Your teen rebellion wasn't like, yes, we're going to be in a band just like you insisted that we are, but our rebellion is we're going to shift our repertoire. Yeah, take right. that.
Exactly.
So like, and growing up, I personally thought every family had a family band. So I didn't think that it was weird. And it wasn't until I was in middle school, basically, or like fifth grade, when I asked my friends were like, we're going to go to the mall on Saturday. Essie, do you want to go? And I was like, I mean, yeah, but like, aren't you in rehearsal?
How did you guys tell, once you guys hit it big, how did you tell your parents they weren't in the band anymore?
we kicked mom and dad out of the band.
I mean, they were just stoked that we wanted to be in a band with each other. Like, they thought we weren't like killing each other by the time we were teenagers. It was never like a you will play music and you will be a rock band. It was
the opposite of anything. Yeah, we're like, yeah. You think it's fun, but also get a job and go to college.
are they still like that? Or they're like, yes, playing Saturday Night Live is nice, but you know, there is like a post-BA pre-med thing you guys could do.
I mean, my mom and I still talk about, my mom's like, you ever think you're going to get like, you know, a master's degree? You think you can go now? What if we get hot to get in? I'm like, Mom,
we have to go on tour.
We have to go on tour, Mom. Like, you know, education's important in this family.
My parents gave up on me and Danielle.
Danielle and Alana were hanging out behind the dumpster at our high school smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Well, that also works if you're going to go into music. Well, yes. Esty and Alana, it is a joy to talk to you, but we have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
You're My Wonderwall.
So you two, with your sister, are part of a successful sibling band. And basically, you have one job. Don't be like Oasis. That band's founding brothers, Liam and Noel Gallagher, became legendary for the feuds that led to the eventual breakup of the band. So we're going to ask you three questions about the Gallaghers. And if you answer two of them correctly, you will win our prize for one of our listeners.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Here we go.
Bill, how are Esty and Alana Haim playing for?
Amy Lee of Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, here's your first question about Oasis and the Gallaghers. Liam and Noel Gallagher's fights and feuds were notorious for most of the band's career. In fact, someone once capitalized on their reputation for fighting by doing what? A special Liam and Noel edition of Rock'em Sock'em Robots was released by Mattel. B, a 9-minute recording of one of their arguments was released as a single by a record label. Or C, a pair of tag team pro wrestlers who called themselves Croasis, and their gimmick was they'd always end up beating up each other.
Oh my God, Essie, do you know?
I think it might be B.
All right, it's B. That's what happened. This single was released under the name Wibbling Rivalry and went to number 52 in the British pop charts.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
We should cover it on our next record.
All right. Here's your next question. In 1996, the band appeared on MTV's live concert show Unplugged, but Noel announced when he got on stage that Liam wasn't going to be there. Where was Liam? Was he A, locked in the dressing room, exactly where Noel had left him, B, at Noel's house, setting fire to it, or C, in the audience, heckling Noel?
Should we go with A? I think he locked him in the dressing room.
Let's go with A. Let's just see what happens.
You let Liam lock Noel in the dressing room. No, in fact, Liam was sitting in the audience and he heckled.
Oh, that makes me angry.
You just need one more and you win. One more. No one will ever remember you got one wrong as long as you win. Otherwise, it's lifelong shame. The brothers were famous for dissing each other in the press. Which of these was once said by Noel about Liam? A, quote, "The only thing that keeps me from punching him in the face every minute of the day is that he looks like me." B, quote, "He's like a man with a fork in a world of soup." Or C, quote, "I have immense respect for his musical talents, but sadly we have differing visions of what we next wish to explore."
I think it's B, the soup one.
Do you agree?
Oh my God, I'm so scared. Yes.
It's B, yes.
Yay! Okay.
Bill, how did two of the Haim sisters do on our show?
They got two right, and here... You win with
it. Absolutely. It's all you needed. Yay.
That's all I wanted.
Esty and Alana Haim are 2/3 of the band Haim with her sister Danielle. Their new album, Women in Music Part 3, is up for Album of the Year and Best Rock Performance at this year's Grammy Awards. Esty and Alana, what an absolute joy to talk to you. Thank you so much for being on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Me. Thank you guys so much for having us.
Take care.
Bye. LA on my mind. I can't breathe. You're there when I close my eyes, so hard to reach. Your smile's turning to crying,
It's the same relief.